Amos chapter 4. You know, text messaging is a type of a telegram, but telegrams are nothing new. It's interesting how inventions that came many years ago have a kind of a new way of coming to us. And the telegrams actually changed the way the world communicated when they first came out. Samuel Morse invented the telegram and sent the first two messages in history. On January 11, 1838, he held a public demonstration and he sent a message 2 miles to his friend on the other end. And the message read, "A patient waiter is no loser." He tried to get sponsorship in America for his project and was turned down the first time. He went to Europe to try to get sponsorship, but they were sponsoring someone who was also interested in that invention, and they were trying to get the telegram invented there and developed there first. So he came back to America and gave another demonstration at the U.S. Capitol. And he strung wires through the rooms of the Capitol building, and he sent messages back and forth to the rooms in Congress. Congress saw the benefit of it and they allotted him $30,000 to develop a line from Washington to Baltimore. And that was his project. And then on May 24, 1844, the line was officially opened and Samuel Morse sent the famous words, "What God hath wrought," from the Supreme Court chamber in the basement of the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., to the B&O Mount Clair Station, Railroad Station in Baltimore. Annie Ellsworth chose the words from the Bible, Numbers 23:23. Her father, the U.S. Patent Commissioner Henry Levitt Ellsworth, had championed Morse's invention and secured early funding for it. And his telegram could transmit 30 characters per minute. Telegrams from that day on became a way of life through this young country called America. Telegrams usually mean one of several things. Maybe it means immediate business needs your attention or some news flash for people to know about real quick. Or maybe bad news took place. And this is especially true of the wars of America. Many telegrams were sent just to tell of bad news. But you know, God still sends telegrams all the time, direct from the throne of grace, to both saints and sinners alike, straight to the hearts of men. God can still reach us. Amen? It might be a telegram to warn someone who's lost. It might be a telegram to give light to someone who is seeking. A lady was driving by the church this year and she was praying and she said, "Lord, give me a sign." She turned on Marcellus Avenue Place, went by the church building praying, "Lord, give me a sign." And there it was. She said, "I just needed to know that God was listening." It might be a telegram of love to a believer. I'm glad God knows how to put his arm around us when we need a hug. Even if Tony's not around, God can hug us. I tell you, appreciate Brother Tony.
Amen. Thank you.
He works around here, does chores, wants to keep busy for the Lord. He's an inspiration to stay busy, doing something positive. Amen. The Lord also gives telegrams of words of instruction to his servants, or words of cheer and comfort to those that are suffering. I'd like us to consider 5 telegrams from God this morning. Please stand as I read Amos chapter 4 and verse number 12. Amos chapter 4 and verse number 12. And if you have that spot, you can read along with me out loud. "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Let us pray. Father, this morning as we have just opened your eternal word that's forever settled in heaven, Help me, Father, to communicate your word in the way that you want me to. Give us ears to hear your message. Speak to us this morning, Lord. We're needy people. We need your grace. We need your guidance. We need your help. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This is a telegram to those who are lost. The prophet Amos records this in his book. It's a solemn message, is it not, to Israel of the Old Testament? The Lord was telling a backslidden nation that had his favor on it that they were about to come into judgment for their backsliding because they had stopped worshiping the one true God and they started going their own way, doing their own thing. And soon they would be face to face with him if they did not repent, if they didn't turn from their ways. You know, this message reminds us that sin must be paid for. It has to be put out of the way. Amen. It reminds us that righteousness must be put on. Holiness must be imparted to be able to stand before God, or that day when we meet him will be a sad one. I've asked friends of mine to pray for a childhood friend of mine who is going through the final stages of pancreatic cancer. He's only been given a short time, less than a year to live. No hope of any improvement in his health. And I wish I could say that he was a believer this morning. My prayer is that he will be, that he has time to get ready, to prepare to meet his God, if he would just simply call on the Lord Jesus and see his need. Amen? He'd have the same reward as anybody else. The same resting place that all the saints go to. Amen. You know, we sang this morning, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. I have a message full of love, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Just a look at the Savior can save you for all eternity, realizing that he paid the price on the cross for our sins with the shedding of his blood. That there's nothing good that you and I can do to deserve heaven. We're all sinners. We're either a saved sinner or a lost sinner, but we're all sinners. Amen? And a solemn message, prepare, O Israel. You know, the New Testament tells us, make your calling and election sure. Don't take someone's word for it. You make sure that you know that you have passed from death into life. Amen? You make sure. You make sure the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God and that you do believe in his promise for yourself. The New Testament says to make your calling and election sure. This was a message Amos gave to the nation of Israel. I think of America this morning. We still enjoy freedom. Not as many freedoms as we once did. And we enjoy freedom, yes, because of the sacrifice of many on the battlefield. And yes, because we have a mighty military. But primarily, we enjoy our freedoms this morning because God allows us to be free. Amen. In God, we trust. Amen. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And yet, our foundations are being destroyed in America, brick by brick. But yet, we are free still because God has not taken it away from us. Our freedoms are eroding away, I believe, as God is not pleased with America. He's not pleased with our living as Americans. Amen. Abortion continues every year. 1 million plus per year in America since the 1970s. We don't hear much about it anymore, but it still takes place in this country. Close to 40 million abortions in America since the 1970s. New York State alone has over 100,000 abortions per year. Sodomy was once forbidden and unthinkable, and now is front and center on big screens all across America. Many of our states have adopted that lifestyle. The gay movement has taken America by storm. This president is the very first sitting president to publicly give his endorsement to what God says is unnatural and wicked.
Amen.
No nation has survived that has gone in that direction. The world and our culture says, it's okay. I raise my voice today against their many voices and say, no, it is wrong.
Amen.
God says it's wrong. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet.
Amen.
And verse number, go down to the verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God is not against this lifestyle that America is embracing. You know, in our dangerous world in which we live, America may soon receive a telegram from God. That telegram may also say, America, prepare to meet thy God. Many churches are cold and lukewarm in their service for God. Revival is the only thing I think that can save America. And yet, God's people, many, do not take it serious. We see our freedoms leaving. We talk about it and we say it's a shame. But where's the family altar? We complain that there's no prayer in school. Where's the prayer in home? Where's the prayer in our homes? I hope that my grandchildren still get to experience some of the freedoms that we grew up with. Amen?
Amen.
Another telegram from God is to those that are seeking Him. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist had a gathering together of seekers of truth. And as he was teaching them, Jesus Christ walked by in the distance and he stopped what he was saying and he pointed to the Lord and he said, behold, look at him. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
Hear him. He must increase. I must decrease. The seeker must look away from self to the Savior. Those that are seeking God, they need to look away from themselves. Away from the good things that they think that they may have done to earn His favor. You know, our Bible says that there's none that doeth good. No, not one.
Amen.
We've inherited that old sin nature. We're stuck with it. Thanks to Adam and Eve. And we battle that flesh every day till the day we die. Amen?
Amen?
And yet the seeker must look away from self and to the Savior. Well, away from the good or bad that they think that is in the eyes of man's standards of how they may measure up. The truth is none of us measure up. We've all come short. And whenever truth is received, that person's getting closer to Jesus. And there's life, as we sang this morning, just for a look at the Savior. You know, I'm glad that the Scripture tells us that that thief that died next to Jesus, after living an entire life of crime and sin, that person, acknowledging Christ in his dying moments, was given a promise of entering paradise.
Amen, amen.
Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
What a message of hope for anyone of any age, under any circumstance. Amen.
Amen.
And then there's the telegram to those that are saved. I'd like you to look at Ephesians, please. Chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, please. And verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And then it talks about the armor of God that God gives to us. But God wants us to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in yourself. Not strong in maybe your favorable circumstances that you may be in right now of life. Not even to be strong in your service, but to be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. To be strong in your stand for the Lord. As you stand for Him each day. Not being ashamed of who you are in Christ. Amen. People ask me, why are you smiling? I smile because I'm happy. Why are you happy? I'm going to heaven. I don't know when. It could be at any moment. I don't know that. But I know one thing. I got more miles behind me than I have in front of me. And that's something to look forward to. Be strong in your stand for the Lord. Be strong in your daily walk. That is the message to God's people this morning. Be strong in your walk before men. Be strong. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. Amen? Be strong, God says, and watch, and pray, let all things be done with charity, or with love. Be strong. Look at 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. You know, this old Bible of mine's fallen apart right before me. The page has been turned too many times. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. What's it say? Thou therefore, my son, what? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Oh, if there ever was a time where the church of the living God needed to be strong, it's today. Be strong. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. He has power. Be strong in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58 gives us another reason to be strong. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, all unmovable. I forgot to mention that twice. That means don't move. Amen. The world's going away from God and trying to drag us with them. God says be unmovable. Amen. Don't let the world move you in your convictions. Don't let the world move you in what you believe is right and wrong. Amen. Amen. Be unmovable. Steadfast. Always. Abounding. In the work of God, abounding. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Be strong. You say, Pastor, I can't be strong. I feel so weak. God can give you power.
Amen.
Yes, He can. He can give you grace. And so there's the telegram for the Christian. There's also the telegram from God to His servants, His disciples of today. You know, every disciple is a Christian, but not every Christian is a disciple. How many lepers came back to thank Christ and to follow Him and serve Him when 10 were healed? How many came back?
One.
Just one. I'd like you to look at Luke chapter 19, please, as we consider God's telegram to His servants. Chapter 19 and verses 11 through 13. And as they heard these things, He added, and spake a parable, because He was nigh to Jerusalem. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And that's our job as His servants. We are to occupy until He comes. Occupy means not just to possess, but to improve, to increase, to explore. Occupy. That's what we're to do. Sunday school teachers are to occupy. Deacons and trustees and pastors are to occupy.
Amen.
Bus workers are to occupy. We are to occupy, to improve, to increase, to explore. Not just to hold on, but to be going forward. And then, of course, there's the obvious reason that we ought to be strong in the Lord is because when we meet the Lord, we're all going to stand before Him to give an account of our life.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body, in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Oh yes, one day we're going to stand before our Lord. And our Christian life is going to be tested and tried. It's going to be tested by fire. Some of the things we did were maybe for the wrong reasons or the wrong motives. When that test of fire, it's going to go up like wood, hay, and stubble. Just poof. But the things that were done with the right motive, even the smallest thing, according to our Bible, we can receive a reward. What do we do with those rewards one day? We cast them at the Savior's feet. Amen?
Amen.
And say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. I give this to you. We should never underestimate the value of anything done for the Lord, even as if we think it is so small and insignificant. Let me read to you a true story. In Elmer Binder's book, The Fall of Fortress, he describes one bombing run over the German city of Kassel. Our B-17 was barraged by Nazi anti-aircraft guns. This was not unusual, but on this particular occasion, our gas tanks were hit. Later, as I reflected on the miracle of a 20-millimeter shell piercing the fuel tank without touching off an explosion, our pilot, Von Focus, told me it was not quite that simple. On the morning following the raid, Von had gone down to ask our crew chief for the shell as a souvenir of unbelievable luck. The crew chief told Von that not just one shell, but 11 had been found in the gas tanks. 11 unexploded shells, where only one was sufficient to blast us out of the sky. It was as if the sea had been parted for us. Bond was told that the shells had been sent to the armorers to be diffused. The armorers told him that intelligence had picked them up. They could not say why at the time, but Bond eventually found out the answer. Apparently, when the armorers opened each of those shells, they found no explosive charge. They were clean as a whistle and just as harmless. Empty? Not all of them. One contained a carefully rolled piece of paper. On it was writing in Czech, scratched. The intelligent people scoured our base for a man who could read Czech. Eventually, they found one to decipher the note. It set us marveling, and translated, it read, "This is all we can do for you now." The Czech people were an invaded people by the German army. They were forced to make these things. And whenever the heads of the German officers were turned, they would do their best to help the winning side. And so they didn't put explosives in all of the charges and all of the shells. And that's what saved that airplane. Can you imagine the grace of God? Amen. Never underestimate any small thing that you do for the Lord. You never know the end of it and what the result will be. Yes, we're to occupy until He comes. And the last message, I think, the last telegram from God's throne this morning that He would remind us of is a telegram to those that suffer. In Revelation chapter 22, the very last book of the Bible, the very last chapter of the very last book, we have our Lord repeating several times the phrase, "Behold, I come quickly." In verse number 7, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." In verse number 12, the Bible says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." And then verse number 20, our Bible says, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus."
Amen.
The Apostle John got so caught up in writing this, he just had to put down, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." For those that suffer, we say, "Hold on a little bit longer. Amen. The Lord is coming for you." Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad there's a great message of hope that we could tell people that are suffering, those that maybe have a short time to live, prepare to meet the Lord, and then He's going to come for you. "Behold, I come quickly." It won't be long. Hold out just a little bit longer. God will take you in His time. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, there's the message to Israel that perhaps America may receive one day. I hope not. I hope we have more time. Then there's the telegram to those that are seeking. Maybe this morning you're seeking Him. Circumstances in your life have been changed, out of your control, and you're wondering what's happened. But you're seeking His truth. You know, if you seek Him, you will find Him.
Amen.
You will find Him. And there's the telegram to God's people. Be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong today. We really do need to be strong in our walk. We need to be strong and not be moved as the world continues to slide and say, "You can't mention God in public." As they continue to erode the things that are sacred to us, we need to be strong in the Lord and not be moved. And then there's the message to God's servants, those that are saved and serving Him. Be faithful. Be faithful. Keep going. Amen.
Amen.
Go another week. Sunday school teachers, prepare another week. Be faithful. Don't give up. Stand fast. Say, Pastor, you ever feel like quitting? Yeah. When? Mondays. Get tired on Monday. But you know what? We got to keep going. Amen?
Amen.
We have to keep going. And then there's the message for those that suffer. Behold, I come quickly. Pretty soon this life will be a memory when we reach heaven's shore. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen.
You know, I save, whenever I preach a funeral, I save the little prayer cards. I keep them on the shelf in my office. And I mark the time of the year that it takes place. And I think about them. And I think about that song. We're going to meet on that shore one day. You know, I've got a lot of cards on that shelf. I'm so glad that we have a lot of friends in that glorious place called heaven. Let us pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. First of all, this morning, as your pastor, I want to exhort all of our church members to be strong. But not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. And maybe there's someone here this morning that's seeking. You're seeking the truth. You're seeking to know the way to heaven. Our Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Yes, you can know it by trusting in Him only. Plus or minus nothing. Just trusting in His finished work on the cross when He cried, my God, why do you forsake me? Because God couldn't look on sin. Our sin was placed on Him. He died in your place. All you have to do is receive Him as your only hope of heaven. And right this morning, you can do that where you're sitting. In the quietness of this moment, you can reach out in faith and say, Lord Jesus, I realize if I died this morning, I'm not sure of heaven. I want to be sure. I want to accept your gift of eternal life this morning. If that's your desire this morning, would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Anyone like that at all? I want to be sure. I don't want to just hope so. I want to be sure. Anyone like that? We'll pray for you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning going through a difficult time in your Christian life. Just hold out a little bit longer. God will deliver you from that. He'll give you grace to go through that storm. Father, we commit this time to you in prayer. We pray for our country this morning. It saddens us to see the direction that she's headed. Lord, we commit it into your hands. We need revival. We realize, Lord, that only you can give it. And we ask, Father, that you move in our hearts this morning in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please. 543 in your hymn book, if you need it. God is speaking to your heart. You'd like to come and pray at our altar for any reason, any purpose. You come as we sing, Jesus, I Come, 543. Maybe God has spoken to your heart about being stirred, being strong in the Lord, needing your own revival. This morning, would you come as we sing? Out of